Ladies and gentlemen, Henrik here with Red Ice TV. Thank you so much for tuning in. Always a pleasure having you with us. Today we have an issue of free speech coming to you. A little bit over a year ago, we had a gentleman called Alfred Schaefer on the show. I think we had him on twice, actually. And his sister as well, Monica, we did a show with her. She had actually done a 5-minute video that was called Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, which was a very good video. It was an honest, very down-to-earth video about her own kind of personal and emotional experiences growing up in Germany, all the things that she was taught, etc., and her basically waking up to kind of a different story, if you will. And this has, in hindsight, caused a ruckus, not only, of course, in Canada, where she and Alfred was living, but now they've gone back to Germany. And there it's, you know, this has intensified, if you will. So we have Alfred back with us on the show here today to actually go through some of this and talk a bit more in detail about what actually happened. And I want Alfred, welcome, first of all, but I want everyone to kind of don't assume that people know the case. So let's talk about it from the beginning and what actually happened, Alfred.
Good. I'll just go back to the summer of 2016. Monica was here with Professor Tony Anthony Hall, and we did a number of video productions. And what really rocked the boat here was the little was a 5 or 6 minute video that Monica did, one in German, one in English. It's called Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. And in this video, a very heartfelt video, she explained how she, growing up in Canada as a German, and how when the propaganda, when we started being indoctrinated with the propaganda, the people in school, like back at that time, the Germans were vilified, really vilified to the max. That was like 20 years after. Well, that was in the 60s. Yeah, in the 60s. So that was 20 years after the end of hostilities of what we call World War II. And Monica described how she experienced that as a youngster in school when she dressed, used her, you know, wore her traditional German dress, and how the people mocked her. And then she started reproaching. Then she eventually reproached our parents, particularly our mom, for what the evil Nazis did. Because when you are told as a little child these kinds of stories, you just assume that you're being told the truth. You just would not imagine that you would be lied to by those people who you trust, who you look up to. Anything they tell you, you believe it. I mean, that's our nature. I mean, if you're growing up and your parents tell you to this or that, you have to believe it, because if you don't, you wouldn't survive. If your parents tell you don't go jumping in that pond because there's alligators there, and you don't listen, well, you get eaten by the alligators. So it's our nature. It's our inherent nature to believe what we are told. And this has been used against us to inculcate us and indoctrinate us with these stories, which vilify our own ancestry, our own heritage. And so Monica went to our mom, and she says, oh, Mom, why didn't you do something to stop these evil Nazis and so forth? And then later on, not that long ago, she figured out, well, geez, this is all lies. And she told me that once. And I says, you know, Monica, we have to make a video out of that. So we did that. She wrote a beautiful text. So she was here on that visit. She gets in front of the camera. We made this video, Sorry, Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. And it really took off well. And then the Israeli, the Jews got wind of it. And it was all over the Israeli press in multiple languages. They were just really, wow, you know, this Canadian politician denies the Holocaust in a video. And they, what really shook them, rattled their cage, was the way this is. There had not been a video of this kind before, where you're really basically undoing so much of the psychological warfare they had done against us, and this was basically undoing it in one big swoop. So they were very nervous about that, and they tore her to pieces and vilified her. Mm-hmm. And then when Monica went back to Jasper, she had to endure the most extreme ritual defamation you could possibly imagine. And thank God that Monica has the spirit that she does, because not many people would have survived that. I mean, she basically lost pretty much all her violin students, and people were telling her, you're not welcome here. It was like the witch trials in 300-400 years ago. It's just amazing.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely true. And it's amazing that, of course, you know, we don't even have to get into the mechanics of what it is that Monica actually believes. It's the it's the audacity that she has come to a different conclusion than other people, than the masses, than the majority. I mean, we know, of course, that this is punishable, a crime in many countries now, to think differently about a historical event, which is amazing. And it's also amazing that so few free speech activists come out in support of these people who have come to a different conclusion. And it's, in this case, I think they want to make an example, not only out of her, but we know other scenarios in Germany, like Sylvia Stolz, of course, and I forget the older lady's name now. Obviously, you know.
Ursula Haverbeck.
Exactly, Haverbeck. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So they've gone after older women on this now in Germany. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. But tell us first, how did she was in Canada? Did you guys decide to go back to Germany? What happened there?
Yeah. She came, she was wondering, she wanted us to, you know, we wanted to connect up again, and she has a lot to do in Canada, so she figured, sort of on the spur of the moment, geez, I'm going to go visit Alfred in Germany now at Christmas time. So she gets on the plane, you know, hops over here, and we had just a wonderful time, and I told my comrades here, you know, Monica's coming and so forth, and then Henry Hoffenmeier says, hey, we can go visit the trial of Sylvia Stolz, which is in Munich on the 3rd of January, if your sister's here. We'll just have a look at that. So it was a real spur-of-the-moment decision. We went there, and just so we go there as quiet observers, and watching these proceedings was beyond bizarre. It really is an inquisition. You know, they would, we were sitting in the back there, and then in comes Sylvia Stolz and her attorney. And at the front are this decrepit snake of a state prosecutor and the other people that are in there, which are, you know. and if Sylvia Stolz and her attorney would be, you're talking about like explaining things, you know, this and that. And no matter how logically and precise they would explain something, the state prosecutor would brush it aside with just a simple, you know, jibber jabber that didn't even make sense. So this is the nature of an inquisition. An inquisition is like in the old days, they would put you in a sack, throw you out in the water, and if you sank, you were innocent but dead. And yeah. If you stay on top, you are guilty and will be tortured. You cannot win in an inquisition. And these trials are inquisitorial. There is no hope in hell, and they try to bind these people in this legal process here to drain them of all their resources. Tie up. I mean, if you see these people, how much are they? How much money are they being paid by the taxpayer and by the poor victim? And it goes days and days, and they just it's a jibber jabber nonsense. It's utter destructive nonsense. Anyway. We were in that courtroom there, and somebody behind us or beside her somewhere said, oh, that must be Monica Schaefer. I mean, that's her. We recognize her. And so they called for a surprise break about 45 minutes into the hearings there. And so we says, okay, we stretch our legs, go outside. We step outside the room. And then this another a different state prosecutor comes accompanied by three very heavily well-armed thugs kind of thing. And they take this, they ask her, are you Monica Schaefer? Oh, okay, come over here. They took her to the side and they were talking with her, slapped her in handcuffs and dragged her off.
Right there,
Right there and then, yeah.
Absolutely. Did you have any suspicion about this or like?
Oh, no. It's a total surprise. I mean, why didn't they?
Not paranoid to show up in public like that after that.
No. And the funny thing is, I thought, okay, they probably arrested her for things that we had done while she was here. Because we had a guy come from France, guy who's, I hate using the word revisionist, a person exposing historical truth. And he came here because he felt so alone there in Paris. And when he was here, and he played accordion, really, really good accordion player. And so Monica and him were making music every day. We were just doing cultural things. And one day we went to Andex, which is a monastery nearby here with a beautiful beer garden and so forth. And we were in this beer hall, and then a brass band came in, and it was pretty filled up with people. And Monica was just so elated with energy, she stood up and gave the Roman salute. And,
Oops.
You know... and so what happened? Well, somebody else behind her gave the Roman salute, and nobody came and, you know, and says, hey, you Nazis or anything. And people were chuckling and sort of, oh, what's going on here? But people were giving us thumbs up and so forth. And then when she was arrested then a few days later at this at the court, at the Inquisition of Sylvia Stolz, I was sure it was for this incident, but right. It wasn't. It was actually for, sorry, Mom, I was wrong about the Holocaust. So with this, I say this is the most spectacular own goal that I have ever seen anybody make. I mean, Sylvia Stolz, they were trying to basically put her, you know, flush her down the memory hole.
Yeah.
And they'd love it if Monica would just disappear. But now they have elevated both of these courageous women right onto center stage on the world stage, and that's where we need them. Now, this might be some discomfort for Monica for a while, but the week that we had here before this happened, she had her batteries charged up to the max with a wonderful dialogues we had, the conversations we had with the cultural events, with the Roman salute at UNDEX there, and the positive feedback she got from that. So it's good. Now she's very well aware of the importance of the role that she is in right now. Mm-hmm. And there's no resolving this in the judicial system. We have to resolve this on the political level. So we are going to amplify this and make it as embarrassing as possible for the powers that be. They need to know it is time to come out with a white flag and apologize for all these lies, because they cannot possibly stop it. They're trying to stop it with extreme censorship here. Oh, let me just say one thing. When Monica came here and before her arrest, and she, you know, she's doing her mail or emails, and we're looking a lot on the internet, and she says, geez, I feel like I'm in prison already. Everything is censored. She couldn't, all the stuff that she could still see in Canada, like videos and so forth, it's all blocked here. It's extreme censorship right now, mm-hmm. and it's accelerating. It's intensifying. So they think, in their hubris, that they can keep the lies covered by censoring. But I always say, if you have a small child at home and you say, "Do not look in this drawer here," and then you go out of the room, where's the first drawer that the child's going to look? In the precisely the drawer he's not supposed to look. This is human nature, and this is what this our curiosity and I mean, it's our nature. We want to know what's going on around us.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the important thing to remember too is, of course, that this is not hurting anyone. This is a victimless crime, and this is it's a personal investigation, if you will, that someone is doing into a historical event. It's their choice. It's not, you know, hurting anyone else. And the fact is that, I mean, we know that in Germany this has been made a crime, and I believe that if I recall the statutes correctly, was basically, it has been established by law what the history is, and if you do come with a different conclusion, then you're breaking that law of the established history. And so, what has she found out? Consequently, are you in communication with her every day, every other day? And what's the charges and stuff like this? Well, tell us about that.
Okay, first of all, we are trying to communicate with her. It is not possible. She is completely isolated from the outside world. Now, she's not isolated from the other inmates, but she is completely isolated from us and the outside world. We had the Canadian consulate go there, and that was not easy to get that arranged, but the Canadian consulate did go there. Actually, it was a woman and a man, the consul and the consul general or something like that. And then they said afterwards, well, now we were there, and now we cannot visit her again for 6 months. That's the rules they have. And they cannot get involved in the legalities. So it's basically, this is a dark time in our history right now that this is happening. And
Will Canada fight for it? I mean, she's not been extradited, but how can she end up under the jurisdiction of German law? That they haven't explained this, I would reckon. They just snatched her and that's it.
They snatched her. This is a completely illegal thing. This is outside of law and order as we know it. And you know, I'll tell you how obscene this whole thing has become. I was just raided a couple of days ago again, and it's because of the shitstorm that we're stirring up with Monica's arrest. So mm-hmm. they're really unhappy now.
Yeah.
But it shows that we're on the right track, because even Uncle Adolf or Adolf Hitler, he used to say, if the Jews are not attacking you, it's because your work is mediocre. It's not really doing much. As once they notice you and they start attacking you, it's because they are afraid that you are making inroads into their construct of lies. So, that's where we are now.
What about Canada? Have they, as you said, okay, they visited the consulate there, but have they not tried to say, hey, this is a Canadian citizen, you can't just take him, right?
No, if you look at the Canadian government, they are even more repulsive and they are even lower down than the German government, or all of our governments in the Western world right now are about as low as they can get. And that's a problem now, because they have all been maneuvered into the positions that they find themselves in because of their corrupt morals and that they can be manipulated, and they will do as their Jewish masters expect them to. And no Canadian government, no German government, no government is going to help her. This is something that we have to resolve basically from the bottom, from just a massive awareness. And right now, Monica is one of the most valuable fulcrums that we have to leverage this message out there, because even those who think that life consists of sitting on a couch watching TV, even the zombies will start to understand that when they take somebody, throw her in jail, just arrest her on the spot, throw her in jail because of a heartfelt apology to her mother, at the same time that these hordes and hordes of military age black and brown men are like a tsunami of them flowing into our countries, and they get a free pass to do anything they want. They even get helpers to show them how to get this and get that from our society. They get benefits. And somebody who comes to the logical conclusion because they've looked at the evidence, they get thrown in jail. That is something that needs to be addressed. And this is something that will affect each and every one of us. Nobody is going to escape this imbalance that we have in our system right now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, there's a legal inconsistency for sure here. I mean, there are actually victims of rape, etc., that are not getting the aid of the law, the full reach of the law, if you will. There are many people that actually walk free. I've heard cases, Lana did a video just a couple of weeks ago about a few of these cases where they walk free, and I think some of the judges have said, well, they don't understand the culture. They just need to be educated, basically, so they're let go. But the point is, that's a clear crime with a victim. In this case, there's no victim. No one is being hurt by it. Maybe someone is offended by it, right? Because these are awful opinions to have or whatever, but there's no victim here. And so the imbalance is just completely out of whack. And it's clear to me that they're making examples out of these women to make sure that people are scared away from not only looking at this stuff, but basically they should be afraid of thinking for themselves. That's ultimately what this is about, I feel. And they've picked also this issue because, of course, it's very important to them for people to be guilt-ridden and basically have this new theology of guilt and victimhood. And this is the choice, right?
Absolutely. Now, there's so many facets to this Holocaust lie. And right now, I think it's important that I focus all my work now on trying to articulate the big picture. As I find that, I know Monica, when she was here, we came to the same conclusions that once you understand the big picture, that the components of this big picture are much easier to understand, and they all make sense. It all falls into place. It's a little bit like if you're standing really close to a huge a picture, like a billboard, and you can only just see the big pixels or something that are this big. You cannot make any sense out of each of these pixels. But when you stand back and see the whole picture, it all makes sense. And this Holocaust thing, you know, some people think it's just a scam for money. No, that's just gravy that they sort of managed to harvest at this point in time. But the real or original purpose of the Holocaust was to divert attention away from the massive genocides that took place behind what we used to call the Iron Curtain under the name of communism. Now, for us growing up in the West back then, when that Iron Curtain was still in place, what was behind the Iron Curtain separated us. We were the good people and the Democrats from the evil people, and those were the communists. Now, that's the way that situation was interpreted for us. And it's only now in recent times, actually quite recently for myself and like my sister Monica and many other people, that we are beginning to understand that this was both sides of this Iron Curtain were run by Talmudic Jews right from the start. And so if we want to understand the Jewish problem, we have to actually go back for today's world, basically to the French Revolution. But the Jewish problem actually goes back thousands and thousands of years. And these people have honed their skills in getting people to manipulating peoples, having them at each other's throats, that they start killing each other off, and the Jew is there controlling both sides, cleaning up, and then penetrating ever deeper into the fabric of these peoples that have been at each other's throats. And that's what we see now. Like, under communism, there were genocides on the other side that killed tens of millions, possibly over 100 million people, of the best people. And most of these were our brothers and sisters, our European kinfolk. They were just like us. And they were butchered, massacred, most brutally. And to what better way to divert attention away from that than this crazy Holocaust story? Plus, they had to have a way to justify to what they called the Allies, our European people that they manipulated to bomb the hell out of the heart of Europe, which was Germany, to make sure that they could understand why they did it when they saw the mayhem, by vilifying those people that now lay traumatized and genocided on the ground, just start making up fantastic crimes, and they are too traumatized to be able to defend themselves. And that's in a nutshell what this Holocaust, the purpose that it has been. And now it's used to keep us to destroy our ability to defend ourselves. Plus, it gives the Jew a shield behind which he can perpetrate and commit any crime he wants to. And that's where we find ourselves.
Now, there might be people watching, listening, that don't kind of know the arguments that you've made. They don't. I agree or whatever. I'm sure there's some that are as well. But what I want them to understand is basically, I want them to put it into context into other events, other similar, as you say, genocides throughout history. I believe that there's no other another genocide that has occurred that you could be prosecuted for claiming that it didn't happen. This is it's a very unique case, if you will, historically speaking, about what you're allowed and not allowed to do. And as we know, as I've said now many times, it's of course worse in Germany. But I don't understand why many of the free speech activists are not coming out in support of people like Monica and Sylvia and Haverbeck and all these other women and men too, for that matter. There's many men, as we know. Ernst Zundel passed away not too long ago. Of course, he was a big hero, also a Canadian citizen. He was, I believe, he was also extradited to Germany, and he was put in prison there. So this Canada-German relationship is kind of historically there as well in this case. But there should be much more uproar about this. I mean, what about Monica's civil rights? What about her abuses? What about her right to think differently? And I mean, and that's what I want people primarily to focus on. And if they disagree with you, Alfred, on the historical issue, put that to the side for now and just think of the case itself and what it represents. Because as you say, it is a witch trial. It is that these people have been demeaned and dehumanized, right? And wasn't that a crime that they've said the Nazis did? They dehumanized people and all that kind of stuff. So they're in a way, they're doing exactly the same thing, and now depriving people's right and freedom because they think differently. And this should be a free speech issue. And why isn't it? Why is it that no one dares to touch this, or what is it, do you think?
I'll tell you why people are not speaking up. It's because this indoctrination that we have all been victims of has the same effect on our ability to think as does a lobotomy. Now, a lobotomy is when they used to separate the two halves of your brain physically, and they would make out of what they would call violent criminals in the prison system or something, they'd make them into docile zombies, because they separate the two brain halves. Now, this psychological warfare that we have all become victims of to some degree or the other has the same effect on us as does this lobotomy. It compartmentalizes your thinking so that you are not able to think anymore, and you have been conditioned to behave like a dog, like Pavlov's dog. I mean, that's where this whole psychological science basically comes from. They wanted to know how we can condition people to behave, to obey in lockstep altogether. And these people are experts at that. And that's what they've done. If anybody, we have been conditioned, actually our fellow human beings have been conditioned to have an allergic reaction, an aggressive allergic reaction against those people who reveal the truth. Because as soon as you talk about the facts, the evidence that this Holocaust is all bunk, then you are immediately labeled as a Nazi or a Holocaust denier. And we have been taught through conditioning that these things are evil. So people have been reduced really to like little children that you can tell them there's a some kind of a monster or something, or don't look under your bed. There's a golem or something there. This is really, they have reduced us to a very, very low state. At the same time, they are telling us about tolerance and you know, if you want to be a little girl and you're actually a boy, you know, you can do that and nobody can tell you otherwise. So they're getting the people confused, full of fear, confused and reduced to the most basic animalistic level. And they say, well, if they're throwing old women in jail for years and years for Holocaust denial, then obviously they must be really bad. Like, this is how simple their thinking is.
Right.
But now as they see the reality of our world in free fall, in collapse, in imploding, there's more and more people that are beginning to understand that life does actually consist of much more than fun and games. And these fun and games that we have been indulging in were the distraction to keep us away from seeing what has been going on behind the scenes. Now, taking us into the more to these times right now, look at 9/11. They don't even talk about 9/11 at all anymore in any way, good or bad or anything, because they know that everybody's figured that one out. So they figure if we just don't talk about it at all, it'll disappear out of our memory. Because if it's not covered on TV and radio or in the magazines, people won't see it and they just think it's not important because it's not talked about. But they do talk about all the time about, oh, how wonderful when these black men can mate with the white women, and all the advertising is reflecting that. See, so, this, we have to wake up to the biological aspect of the situation in which we find ourselves. And that is basically, in a nutshell, the Jew has declared war on the white race, and we are now at 5 minutes before 12. We have to wake up, understand what's happening, and come into the healing mode. And when I see what's going on in the world today, we are now in that initial phase of the healing. And no organism can heal until it understands that it is under attack, identifies the problem, and only then can it kick into gear and do something about it. So that's why I'm optimistic. And I see that what they've done to Monica, they served us that on a silver platter, and I can only say thanks, Jews. You did a fine job. If the doctor had to prescribe something for us that would have been perfect for helping our cause, then this would have been it. We would have had to pay millions of dollars in advertising to get this kind of exposure to this problem, and they've given it to us at the trial of Sylvia Stolz. And I want to say thanks, Jews. You did a good job.
I wonder what, normal, so to speak, normies think about the case if and when they hear about it. And you know, as we can see, obviously, in some of the headlines, it's she's already a convicted Holocaust denier, although it hasn't been a trial. The issue hasn't been, you know, stated. It hasn't been sorted out. What does she actually believe historically? It is like this. Literally, like, she has some kind of virus or parasite. She's become smitten with this thing, which, like, they need to keep at a distance, kind of thing. And that's how they treat people these days. Just as you said, despite the preachment of the times is really, accept those who think differently, and you shouldn't be afraid of the things you don't understand and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just so sick and fed up with the hypocrisy of what they're trying to push in our faces to get us to accept the kind of things that we don't like. Of course, we have to be tolerant. But they don't have to be tolerant at all. See, they don't have to back down and say, you know what? Okay, it's fine. She's not hurting anyone. Let her believe what she wants to, right? No. Instead, they want to make a case out of her. They want to, jail her and stuff. But what do you think is going to happen next? I know this is very difficult for you to predict, if you will, or kind of project, but you have been raided. There's been people coming into your homes. Tell us a little bit about that, and if there's been any information shared with you at that point about what actually is going on and what they're seeking to do.
Well, this, they are in a panic because they see their work, they've worked like how many long, 2,000 years or something for world domination. They feel they're so close to it. They can finally, it's within reach. But the closer they get, the closer they think they have this, the more insane they go. And that's what we're witnessing now. And there is no stopping the truth anymore. And you were just talking about before, you know, there's a Holocaust denier. And this is, people have to understand that anybody who still believes in this utter bullshit nonsense will not be taken seriously. And in only a very, very short time from now, not one person in our civilization will admit that they ever believed this Holocaust nonsense. And yet, like, I was in Canada in the summer on a speaking tour, and I just saw the hysteria. Everything seems to revolve around if someone's a Holocaust denier or not, or if they're a white supremacist or a racist. And that's all that counts. Nothing else seems to matter. I say, you know, people are living in a fantasy world that is a bubble that's going to burst, and they have to start to understand the reality of what's going on around them, because that's all we've got. Now, if we have hordes and absolute hordes of third world criminals out of the prison systems of the third world coming into our countries, we have to deal with them when everything breaks down, and that's coming. And the Jew world order that they're trying to impose on us is these ridiculous Holocaust religion, okay, and you're supposed to go on your knees and pray to that every day. And at the same time, you are going to be disenfranchised, you are going to be running in your little hamster wheel, and then you're so exhausted at the end of the day, you lay down, sit in front of the TV, eat poisonous food, drink poisonous water, then get back in your hamster wheel, and the Jew world order is controlling everything. And that's what the whole thing here with the EU and everything is. They try to make more and more laws that are making it ever more difficult for the small, the bakeries and the small shop owners, the small farmers, to make it so they cannot operate anymore, because they've got a million rules, always more rules, making it ever more difficult for them to operate, so that eventually everything is just huge, great, big, collectivized, food productions, factories, and everybody will find their place somewhere as an insignificant little grain of sand in this huge apparatus. And as soon as you step out of line, you will simply be shut off. You know, you said the wrong word, they'll just shut off your digital code, and that's it. You can die. Now the Jews actually think they can replace us, who created the civilization, and have these lower IQ people flooding in, get rid of us so they're not threatened anymore. And it's just a complete, total insanity that if we don't deal with it, then we will actually find ourselves exterminated. But I always say the Europeans have always excelled best when they have been forced to survive because of harsh conditions. And when this breaks down, we will find ourselves in extremely harsh conditions that today would seem unimaginable, but that will be the test of fire. We survive or we die. We sink or we swim or we sink. And that's what we're facing. And I believe that when these times come, that's when we will find our true purpose and meaning in life, and we will deal with the parasites and the invaders.
Interesting. I want to return to that a little bit later, maybe in the second part of the show, but let's deal with this issue here. This article, The Times of Israel, states the following. Authorities say Monica Schaefer suspected of spreading hate materials on the internet, right? And in the beginning, I played the video, and of course I saw, Alfred, it's on your channel. I'm surprised it hasn't been taken down, but it was obviously it's been put in a limited state so people can't see, or quarantine, as they call it, right? There's no comments, you can't see how many views there are and all this kind of stuff. Has Monica actually, is this got to be the only video they're referring to? Or does she has had a website herself and released other material, or is it just this video, do you think?
This video is the one that really rattled their cage. I'm glad they're sort of focusing on this video, because it is the best, shortest piece of material that undoes so much of their psychological warfare that we've been victimized of. See, you have to understand the psychological warfare, how it's a very incremental process, and it's a transgenerational incremental process. And I'll go a little bit off topic here just to illustrate what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Now, if you took any one of our grandparents or great-grandparents and And if they had to see how their 10-year-old boys are being taught in school that they can cut off their penis and become a girl, they can be anything they want, these, our great-grandparents would have gone to that school with their pitchforks or something, would have speared that teacher, dragged him outside, strung him in a tree, and no other teacher would ever dare to do that again because they had a healthy, they still had healthy morals. And nobody with healthy morals would tolerate 10-year-old, the most vulnerable of our people, the children, being taught anal sex in school, and they can be any gender they want. And that's what they have brought us down to. Now, the only reason that the parents are not doing that now is because these parents have been completely demoralized, and their parents were already partially demoralized. So it goes a little step by step, incrementally. And Monica's video, Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, basically reverse engineers this psychological warfare because she confesses that she actually reproached our mother for not doing something against those evil Nazis. And my mom says, well, we couldn't. We didn't never heard anything about that. We just didn't know. We never saw that. So here we have our mom was honest. Monica was honest. And this was the heartfelt apology to her spirit since she was already deceased. Our mother was deceased. So now the Jews were got a little bit too greedy. If they would have done this all over a longer period of time, maybe they would have gotten away with it, but they just got too greedy. And that's, the Jews always do that. Like now, I mean, look what they're doing now. They're going crazy with the censorship. But every time I see censorship happens, it always seems to come back. Then those indestructible weeds of historical truth come up stronger and more robust than ever before. And that's what I say is going to happen now. YouTube wants to go into censorship? Well, YouTube is signing its own death warrant. YouTube is just going to go out of business. Who goes to YouTube? Who goes to Facebook if they're going to start doing playing nonsense like that? We're not stupid. Don't take us for fools. You know, the Holocaust is over. If I was a Jew, I'd be coming out with a white flag like right today. I wouldn't waste another day. And if I was a Jew, I'd help to get Monica out of prison because we cannot. If you Jews are going to you know, stonewall and pretend you don't know or you know Holocaust denier is evil, you guys are signing your very own death warrant. The noose is around your neck, and every day of resistance, like going forward, is the noose tightening around your neck. So just get over it and come out with your white flag.
Now, I think you told us earlier that you were. You're the one who were talking with Monica and showing her, you know, a different side of the story and kind of awakening her to, you know, to some of the stuff that she talked about. Have you, and it's more of a personal question, but do you regret doing that? I mean, considering the situation she's in
oh,
now?
No.
And I don't mean in a bad way. I'm just saying, you know.
No, of course. I understand completely. And I'll tell you, Monica, when people at the beginning, they would say, Monica, you know, how could you let these bad people influence you like that? Monica says, no, nobody influenced me. You know, I was waking up, and it started about 10 years after 9/11. I started waking up to what actually happened on 9/11. And I sent this information to all of my family members. And Monica was the only one who always came up with the right questions. She says, oh, where'd you get that? How do you know? Can you prove it? Like, how do you know? Where'd you get that? And the other ones would kind of like do what most zombies do. They kind of click it away. They just delete it or something. They don't want to look there. I mean, you know, when people delete that and put it away, it reminds me of a small child that covers its eyes and says, now you can't see me. You know, they're fooling themselves. They're really, we all have to confront the reality and truth. And Monica always came with the right question. She was basically getting up to speed parallel with me, and we are not, she's helped me with stuff. I've helped her with stuff. I might have, you know, kickstarted her with the 9/11 stuff at the beginning, but she did not resist, and she came right up to speed. And we've been partners in this struggle ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And of course, as one of the other articles state here, I think it was from Vice, of course, they detailed that she was a former Green Party member. She had a lot of people on the left, and she might have even come from a leftist perspective herself in the beginning, kind of initially. So I can imagine how difficult it must have been for her when she started losing her classes and things like that in the school in Jasper, right? And all the people, did they come after her, or did they just kind of drop her as a hot potato? How were her relationships at that point when this started coming out?
Okay, you started saying that like she was a leftist. You know, we were all leftists. I was a leftist. Most people were leftists. We were basically indoctrinated that way, and that was perfectly natural. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's just now when we see the reality that we understand, you know, that this leftist stuff is bad news for us. And Monica's ritual defamation, which she had to endure in Jasper, was vile. I mean, she used to play music once a week or something like that in like the Jasper Legion, it's called. And there was a guy there, Ken Kosminski is his name, but he's all over the internet now in a very bad way. He just did everything to get her thrown out of there, and see, Monica had been a Green Party member. She had run for the Green Party in Canada, but had quit that party already a year before making that video, because it was her disgust at the fact that that party would not deal with the issue of 9/11 and a few other things. So she was disillusioned by the hypocrisy of that party. And of course, now in hindsight, we can see the Green Party, that's one of the very worst. Here in Germany too, the Greens are the absolute worst. I used to vote for those people, and that's how blindsided I was, how hoodwinked I was. Mm. These are the very worst of the worst. And Monica, but people in Jasper, they like she. The way she dealt with the ritual defamation is, since she wasn't allowed to busk officially in the streets, which is, you know, putting your hat down there and playing music and so forth, she just went out with her fiddle and played like just for free kind of thing, and people loved it. And people were, so she had a lot of people who were very happy with what she was doing, and even people that didn't understand the lies of this the six million lie, and they still were believers of that sick religion, but even they would still come to her and say, you know, I might not agree with you what you're saying, but I don't think what they're doing to you is right. See, so they see the injustice of what's actually happening to her. And now, and I've always told Monica, says, you know, Monica, each and every one of those people that are now making your life difficult are in the future, at some point in time, when you go down the street, they will run and hide, or they will come and ask you for forgiveness for their despicable, disgraceful behavior. And that's something that we all have to understand, that us being attacked, I would much rather go to prison. It's like Monica. I mean, that's why I'm not worried about her. She's a very strong person, and she knows the role she's playing. And myself too. If I go to prison, so what? I'll go to jail. And this is going so fast now that I won't be in jail for very long before the mob will get me out of jail, or they'll kill me. But this lie is over. It truly is. No self-respecting European person can crawl on his knees with this utter nonsense of 6 million dead Jews, shrunken heads, soap and lampshades. It is so bizarre. I mean, we can get into how they played this game, you know, depending on how much time we have. But, you know, because with the fall of the Iron Curtain, like Auschwitz, we were always told Auschwitz, Auschwitz. The people living in Auschwitz had never heard of anything about a Holocaust until after the Iron Curtain came down, and then they had a problem.
Let's get into that in the second segment, Alfred. Sure. We're going to take a little break in a little bit, so I think this is a good time to promote the website before we go into that. I want to hear more about that. But obviously, one of the ones that were set up was Wir sind Monika, We Are Monika. Oh, yeah. Tell us about that site and how is there any way people can support her now? What can people do that are concerned with this and her future?
I recommend everybody become familiar with the site Wir sind Monika, or We Are Monika. That should get you there also. And this is sort of a go-to place to see what's happening with Monika, all the latest updates. Well, plus, we have a lot of links to other websites that have a massive amount of good information about the true history of what we call World War I and World War II. And it just goes on and on. It's all in there. That's the go-to place to find out what's happening with Monica. And that is actually what had got them so upset. And that is the reason why they sent a team of 10 heavily armed thugs into my home to steal everything they could find just yesterday morning. So they're
what happened with that? Tell us more about that. I mean, did they break open the door? Did you open? What happened?
No, this is interesting because it's always the same sort of woman with her team of thugs there. She comes from Fürstenfeldbruck, which isn't that far. And this time, last summer of 2017, they came and they basically stormed in here at 6 in the morning, like, you know, just about broke down the doorbell. They're ding, 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 and then they stormed in. But this time they rang at 7 o'clock and were very polite, but a whole team of them. They surrounded the house first, and then they came in. The whole house was full of these people, like 10 of them at least. I couldn't even count them all. And then it didn't take as long as the last time. It only took about just over an hour, and they stole everything they could find. But I was preemptively cautious, and they did. That's why I'm talking to you now. I've still got my equipment. And I told them the whole time. He says, you need to understand, lists are being compiled of all those people who are now being helpers of the system, and you will all find yourself having to explain your behavior when this lie goes over, and it's just like it's just coming down now. It's in free fall. And this is theft and this is treason, what you're doing. And what do you do when you go home at night? What do you tell your kids that you did? You chased a Holocaust denier and stole all his equipment? I mean, that's going to be an embarrassing thing to explain, because your children are all going to know that this was all a lie, and nobody's going to admit that they ever believed that stuff. But that's also another thing, is they don't even talk about the Holocaust and these charges anymore. They actually charge us now of, we are undermining the trust that people have in our legal system. Now, try to digest that one.
They say, is that what they told you?
That's what's written on the papers. That's what's written on the justification for stealing all of our equipment, is that we are undermining the people's trust in the legal system. Now, if that isn't an inversion of reality, I don't know what is. Hmm. And that's what they do with everything. The Holocaust and everything else that they're feeding us, you have to understand this process of inverting and projecting. They invert their own behavior, put it on the victim, and they project that out there, and they just propagandize that message into our brains. And if we're dumb enough to believe it, you know, we deserve to get exterminated. But we are waking up, because we are not really that dumb.
All right, let's take a little break here then. But yeah, I want to send people over to Vir Sint Monica. We'll have a link down in the description for that. There is, of course, tell us about your personal sites as well, Alfred.
I don't have any personal sites. I have my videos. Well, I made them all. I basically finished my video career. Now I'm doing a lot of writing and doing talk shows like this one right now, because that is right now the most effective way that we can get the message out there. If I had invested in new equipment after they stole all of my equipment, my cameras, my everything, they took everything they could find, thousands of euros worth. If I had reinvested, it'd all be gone now again. You see, so that's why I don't bother. I just have to learn to operate in a mobile that I can work here, I can work there. All that I need is a little laptop with an internet connection. That's all I need now, and that's all I'm going to be working with in the future.
Okay, yeah, you have the YouTube channel. We'll link to that, of course. People can check out your older videos. A lot of good videos there. A lot of material on, bigger picture, like 9/11 and how the entrainment, how the mind control process works and stuff like that. Very interesting. Just the last point before we take a break here. Would you want to, if you could, leave Germany, go back to Canada? Are you happy where you are at the moment?
I couldn't go to Canada. Canada, they are such zombies. These people there are more indoctrinated to be zombies than Germany. I mean, Germany is pretty bad, but Canada's even worse. I mean, they are completely brain dead there. I'd hate to say it, but I would cry if I had to look at that every single day. Now, there's good people, don't get me wrong, but the general population is completely and totally, they've had their brains rotted out. And that's a very alarming condition to be in, because they will not survive the coming reality. I'm most concerned about what used to be my home country. No, I want to stay in Germany right here. Even if I go to jail, I'd still stay here.
Yep, I understand that. All right, folks, let's just take a short break here. We'll be back more with Alfred Schaefer. All the links down below. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. Thank you for watching or listening. Guys, we're doing a second part with Alfred Schaefer at redicemembers.com. right now. Yes, really a second members exclusive hour. It's been a long time since we did that last. You know, this is kind of the reboot premiere of the members hour for our interview shows. This is, of course, something that we've started up now again. Since the hack, we've not done a second hour. So this is great getting back into this, doing these once more. So do make sure that you join us. An intense second part with Alfred, as he holds no bars as to how he sees the situation with Europe, his sister's censorship, and silencing of Europeans worldwide. And remember, if you're new to this show, we do let our guests speak on the show, and you might not always agree. I might not always agree, but it's important to give people that are censored and silenced a platform where they can share their views and tell us about how they really view the world without having to self-censor. Now, the second segment is also where we speak about some of the things that we sometimes consciously at this point pulled off from speaking about, you know, in the first segment because of the situation with YouTube censorship and, you know, our podcast goes up on other platforms too. So I explain a bit more about this in the beginning of part two for members. But if you are new, again, just know that we have already been censored from the iTunes store and SoundCloud, to mention a few. And also, more recently, one of these crazy leftist feminists in the British Parliament spoke with representatives from Google and YouTube about censoring, shutting down our channel. She mentioned Red Ice TV by name. So we are careful and concerned about our platform. You know, we have a lot of people on our channel subscribing, and obviously we don't want to be stupid and shoot ourselves in the foot and lose that. And what's more troubling and difficult is that despite the fact that we do not condone, you know, the promotion of violence and such things, we these deluded people who want to silence people with different views are claiming that when we speak about our views, about how we see the world, then that is violence and hate. But it's not. This is lies, but they can't handle that we are a growing channel, a growing community. People are tuning in. People are liking our content. That's the problem, right? So do make sure that you join us at redicemembers.com. You can sign up right now to get the second part with Alfred Schaefer. So join us at redicemembers.com right now for the second part with Alfred Schaefer. You can go and sign up at redicemembers.com. People still don't know the members' website, and they still don't know that we have that. So it's my duty, it's my job to repeat that so that you guys can support our work, that you also can get access to exclusive videos for all of those of you who like our stuff and want to support us. That is the best way. On the member site, you can watch or listen to this show coming up, the second part, or any of our previous shows. More recently, we do video versions of our interview shows too, but not all of them. But we do also have MP3 versions, you know, available for those of you who prefer to download an audio version of our interviews only. Also, Weekend Warrior, our flagship news show that we do exclusive for all our members. Don't miss that. This is a place where we talk about current events, recent developments, the culture war, and a lot of other topics too. We do some original research, and there's a lot of good segments in these shows. And we have some fun too. We joke around a bit more. So check out the Weekend Warrior show, the archive. We have 51 shows strong already. New shows are recorded or done live on the weekends. Also, of course, we do excerpts from that show, and we upload those to our YouTube channel. We've also done, when we were down, the member site was down during the hack, we did a few shows in their entirety, so you can check those out to kind of get a few sample shows. But right now, as the member site is back up, the whole show is for members only. We have over 1,400 radio shows in our archive. We also do exclusive videos, solo videos, if you will, and all the other segments that we produce, it all goes up on the member site. Most recently, I just uploaded a very in-depth video, a long video, about how the US coalition let 4,000 ISIS fighters leave Raqqa, their headquarters in Syria, with weapons, ammunition, their families, and all of it, to basically go to Europe via Turkey. This is a big story, really important video, so check that out. So you get a lot as a member, so it's definitely worth it. Sign up right now, redicemembers.com. That's the plug. You know what to do. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back with the second part with Alfred Schaefer.